Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
In the highlands of Scotland, it has long been the habit of sheep to wander off. They'll often even jump down to a ledge 10 or 12 feet below them to graze on the sweet grass that's found on these outcroppings. While the sheep is content to stay as long as there's grass, eventually the shepherd must retrieve him, because he can't jump back up from the point that he jumped down. The shepherd, however, will wait many days until the sheep is so weak from a lack of food that he can no longer stand. To wait so long may seem cruel, but if the shepherd doesn't wait until the lamb is faint, then the sheep, in his excitement, will jump over the edge and die. It's only when the sheep is too weak to act on his own that he will submit to the shepherd's arms. Many today are like that stranded sheep. We refuse the master's care until we're in the very jaws of death. We need to learn that we have a loving and able shepherd, and he will care for us if we'll only submit to him. Stay with us as we open God's Word and learn about the Good Shepherd at the book of John, and at least 8 different times in the book of John where Jesus paints a picture of himself by saying, "I am," and then describing himself. In most of these cases, he uses some earthly story to help us understand a spiritual truth, to help us understand something that is not earthly at all and may be difficult for us to grasp. We began by looking at John 8, verse 58, where Jesus simply says, "I am." There he is taking for himself that divine nature of self-existence that belongs only to God. We then notice from John 10, verse 36, that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, and such he was, for he was born of the Spirit and the seed of woman, and he was on this earth for the purpose of dying for us, that we might have the same sonship that he took upon himself. We then notice that Jesus identified himself in John 10 and verse 9 as the door to safety. It is through him that we enter a place where we can rest, where we can be safe spiritually, and where we have provision and reward. We then notice Jesus as the light of the world, because the world is in darkness. It is filled with sin. It is ruled by the prince of darkness, and he is the light that came into the world. He showed us how we should live in this life as lights, how we must let the world know what the right way is by the way we live our life. This week we're going to continue looking at John chapter 10, the same chapter we looked at where Jesus identified himself as the door to the sheepfold. We find just a few verses later, in verse 11 of John 10, that Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Now, anyone could claim to be the good shepherd. But here Jesus not only claims to be the good shepherd, but then tells us how we can know that it's true. He says, "The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." It wasn't very much time after this, not many days after this, that Jesus did exactly what he says the good shepherd would do. He gave his life for the sheep. Now, for us to understand this idea of Jesus being our shepherd, there's probably no better way to do it than to go to a place in the Bible where we have one shepherd describing another shepherd. The passage is from the Old Testament, from Psalms 23. This 23rd Psalm is maybe the most famous of all of the Psalms, and it is a beautiful passage, and it teaches us from the words of David, who was a shepherd, what the shepherd in heaven is like. Let's notice this particular chapter and see what we can learn about our shepherd from it. In Psalms 23, the first two verses say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." These two verses teach me that the Lord is not just the good shepherd, that the Lord is not just a shepherd, but that the Lord is my shepherd. He is mine, and I should take great comfort in that. It also tells me that he provides for all of my needs. He makes me not only to have the food I need, that would be represented by the pastures, but we are told they're green pastures. The grass there is lush and sweet. He gives me the best of everything that I need. He doesn't just take me to a place of water, but he takes me to a place of still water, where I can't be swept away. He cares for my physical needs. This was one of the jobs of a shepherd, and it is the job of our shepherd in heaven as well. Notice then Psalms 23 and verse 3, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. See, not only does God care for our physical needs, but He has also provided for our spiritual needs. He restores my soul. I'm reminded of Psalms 51, beginning in verse 12, where David writes, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." David had sinned, and in sinning he lost that joy of salvation. He prays to the Father that he might receive again the joy of salvation. It is God who restores our soul. It is God who leads us in the paths of righteousness. Psalms 119 and 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We need to understand that when our heavenly shepherd leads us down a path, it's always going to be the path of righteousness. He won't lead us in a wrong way. Rather, he will always lead us in the right way. We then notice from verse 4 of Psalms 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." All of us are confronted by this shadow of death at one time or another. Sometimes it's because a loved one, somebody who is close and dear to us, has passed away. When that happens, we have to deal with this shadow of death. But all of us deal with it in a much more personal sense at the end of our lives, when we realize this physical life is coming to a close and we personally are facing death. Even then, death is only a shadow for those who are led by the shepherd. I also find it interesting that it is the rod and the staff, that instrument of correction and keeping, that brings us comfort. We need to understand that God's word that often corrects us and chastises us is put there ultimately for our comfort. In Psalms 119 and verse 52, we read, "I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself." We should be able to look to God's word and see the wonderful things He's done in the past and be comforted. We should find great comfort in His word giving us guidelines and giving us barriers that we are not to cross, for we know those are put there for our benefit. Notice then Psalms 23 and verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." Even in a place of enemies, even in a place of danger, we can always look to the Lord for strength and for help. Even in that place of danger, "my cup runneth over." God gives us the blessings of this life, and even when times are difficult, we can always turn to Him, both for security and for blessings. And finally, Psalms 23 and verse 6, the last verse, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David here looks both at this life and the life that is to come. He will follow me all the days of my life. There's no time during our life here on earth where we ever have to walk alone. God is always there willing to walk with us. But not only here, but he said, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David was looking beyond death to his habitation in that next life, and we don't have to be alone there either. Now, in our text, Jesus claimed to be the Good Shepherd. How does he measure up to this picture drawn for us in Psalms 23 of a shepherd? Well, he provides for our physical needs. James 1 and verse 17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. We also need to understand that even though our physical needs are cared for, that is not Jesus' primary responsibility. Rather, he came to provide for us spiritually. Notice the words of 1 Peter 2 and verse 25. "For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to whom? To the shepherd and overseer of your soul." Jesus is our shepherd. And we should pray to God for the physical things that we need here on this earth. But He is the shepherd of our soul. He provides for us spiritually. It's important for us to realize, though, that we must be His sheep in order to have Him as a shepherd. And His sheep are always identified in these texts as those who hear Him and follow Him. Notice John 10 and verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. Are you the sheep of the shepherd? Are you a child of God? Do you know Jesus? If you don't know Him, you're not His sheep. In John 10, beginning in verse 27, He says, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, that they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Jesus is teaching us that if we will hear His voice and follow Him, we then are His sheep. We are His and we follow Him. Are you the sheep of the shepherd? Are you the child of God? You can answer that question by answering these. Are you hearing His word and following it? Are you the sheep of the shepherd? You can be. If you're not today, all you need to do is believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Based on that faith in Him, you must repent of your sins. You must turn and live for Him instead of yourself. You must then, with the mouth, confess your faith, tell people that you believe that Jesus is the Christ. And then you must be buried in water, baptized, to have your sins washed away by the blood of Christ. If we do these things and then we follow Him, we have the assurance that no one can snatch us out of His hand. It is only us who can leave. No one can take us away. If you haven't done these things, I hope that you will, for the shepherd is waiting to take you.